Welcome back. Well, we are going to be reading Joshua chapter 8, verse 1, as our message is on overcoming failure today. Joshua 8, 1 says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai, for I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land.'" This is the word of the Lord. What is your favorite comeback story? Or maybe even just recently, someone that you know in your own life, it could just be something that's in some small way, something that's happened. It could be from a movie or something that happened in history. I think we all really enjoy comeback stories because we find such hope in hearing about how people overcame trials and failures and setbacks, and then the experience through that struggle, overcoming that, and then a victory. Just recently, my sister posted a short little post on Facebook about how her daughter, her oldest daughter, got a good citizenship award at the end of the school year. And she didn't just say, "Hey, I'm really proud of my daughter who got this award," which was, it's such a nice thing as a parent to get that kind of award for your kid. But she also shared some of the backstory behind it and how her daughter overcame just a hatred of school, period. And she told stories about how her daughter would hide her car keys so she wouldn't have to go to school. And just all sorts of things from that kid who really didn't want to go to school at all, didn't enjoy the people that were she was seeing there, to a kid who thought about how to help other kids. And it was recognized by other teachers in the school, and she got this award. So my sister shared that story, and I thought that was such an encouragement. And that's a comeback story. Today, we have a comeback story. It's a comeback story of the battle of Ai. It's part two of the story that Pastor Soon began last week. So I'm going to just give a little context because it does help to remind ourselves what happened. And the Israelites began their fight for the promised land, and they experienced an incredible victory at the Battle of Jericho, where God took down the walls of Jericho with a shout. When they shouted, the walls came down, and then they rushed in and they took the city. Their second battle, they approached with a good bit of confidence. They said to themselves, "This is a small city, and we don't have to send our whole army out there. So let's just send 3,000 of our men. We can take this city." So they go into battle, and they are routed out. They're defeated by the men of Ai, and they lose 36 of their men. They are absolutely shocked at this defeat. They are broken. They don't know what to do. Joshua's on his face before the Lord. He says, "What are we going to do if you're not with us?" And God reveals that the reason they lost their battle is because he said, "Someone among you has taken of the devoted things from that battle in Jericho." So God told the Israelites before they went to battle at Jericho that that city was devoted to destruction. Everyone in the city, every living thing, including men, women, children, and animals. And then he said all the items in the city were devoted to destruction, except the gold, silver, and some other articles would be devoted as sacred to the Lord in his temple. And he said, if anyone takes from any of those things devoted, then they will also be devoted to destruction. And your camp, the Israelite camp, will also be devoted to destruction. God had given that warning beforehand. And now this is what happened. He said, someone has taken of the devoted things. Through this process of picking and God choosing in this step-by-step process, God revealed that it was Achan, a man named Achan, who stole from the city and took of the devoted things. So what the people had to do, because God said, "I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction," they had to destroy Achan. They stoned him and his family, and they burned them all. And then they heaped a pile of rocks over Achan as a reminder to themselves. And the Bible says that the anger of the Lord, the fierce anger of the Lord, then turned away. What is the state of the people? I think we should take a moment to think about, how do you think that the Israelites felt? Were they ready at this point to just jump back into battle and say, yeah, now we can go. We got this. Let's go into battle, take down the city of Ai, right? No, I highly, highly doubt that's what they were feeling at this very moment. State of the people, I imagine, was filled with sadness and grief. The grief over losing 36 of their men and the grief over having to put one of their own brothers, Achan, to death and his family with their own hands. Who would want to do that? They were grieved. They were broken. I am sure they felt a fear. Fear is rising in their own hearts, understanding that if Achan could do this, really anyone could do this. Achan, I'm sure, was not the only man who thought to himself as he saw the spoils that right there, goodness, I would really like to take some of this, right? They realized Achan's sin could have been any one of our sins. Maybe they questioned themselves, can I really do this thing, God? Can we really go into battle and trust that we will, none of us out of our thousands of people will commit a sin, either harming ourselves or taking down our whole nation with it? Can you imagine the self-doubt, the loss of confidence, and the fear? What if God is still angry with us? We are a weak people. But God does something next. It says in chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, we read verse 1. It says, the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city. God forgave the people. And it says in Psalms that when God forgives us, he removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Once they dealt with the sin and carried out the judgment, God's anger had turned away. He's not angry with them. He encourages Joshua, saying, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, throw off sadness, throw off the fear, move forward. It was time to fight now. And he gave them a plan, and he gave them a promise. He gave them the battle plan, which was this time, take the whole army, not just a portion, the whole army. God's plan was for unity in this matter. They would all need to fight together. And then he tells them to set an ambush behind the city, giving them a specific battle strategy, which we'll look at just in another moment. And he assures Joshua with a promise. He says, I have given this city into your hands. So Joshua receives this encouragement from the Lord, and he leads his army who follow him into battle. It says that what he does is he sends 30,000 of his men to travel in the night covertly to set up an ambush behind the city, south of the city. And then he and the rest of the men travel on the main road. And as they approach the city, he then sends another smaller ambush, 5,000 men, to hide right west of the city. The rest of the main camp of men are go into the spot where they are going to go into battle with Ai. And it says in the early in the morning, King of Ai rises and he sees Israel at this battle place, and they go to meet them. But he doesn't realize that these ambushes are set for him. Joshua and the Israelites engage in battle, and they let themselves be driven back. And then King of Ai thinks they're running away from us, just like they did before. And he calls all the men out. And they go after the Israelite men. They pursue them. And the Israelite men are running for the wilderness, pretending that they're running. And it says that all the men of Ai and all the men of Bethel come out for the fight. Not a single man was left in either of those two cities. They left them wide open. And then when that happened, it says that God told Joshua to take the javelin in your hand and turn it towards Ai, because I've taken the city. And when he does that, the men in ambush rise up and they immediately take the city and burn it. At that point, the men of Ai turn around and see their city that's burning down. And then there's nothing else they can do because the men Israelites who are running away turn back on them. The men that were in the city who had burned it, they came out of the city and they are taken down on both sides. It says that not a single man was left. They took them all down. And then it says when Israel had finished killing all the men in the fields, they went back and they killed and put to sword everyone in the town. This is the second battle that take two when they took over Ai. And that city was devoted again to destruction as all the people were put to the sword. God this time said that they were able to take the plunder and the animal for themselves. We have here a comeback story. We have here a story where God spoke and the people had to rise up and overcome their fears, overcome the doubts that they had, and believe in God's promises and have courage. What did they do next? It says, after this battle, they renewed their covenant with the Lord. You see, before they went into battle, God had told Moses and commanded through Moses to tell the people, once they went into the promised land, that they should renew their covenant at a specific place at Mount Ebal, at Mount Gerizim, two mountains that were facing right each other. And he gave them instructions on a ceremony to carry out, much like a marriage ceremony that has a time when you renew your vows and there are symbolic actions that you do. So God laid it out really specifically, and this was a moment where the Israelites decided that they would go ahead and renew their vows to the Lord. So it says in Joshua 8:30-31, Joshua built on Mount Ebal an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the Israelites. He built it according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no iron tool had been used. On it, they offered to the Lord burnt offerings and sacrificed fellowship offerings. They worshiped the Lord. They gave this time, and they said, after they experienced the victory at Jericho, the defeat, and then the victory again at Ai, they said, this is a time we know we want to renew our covenant with the Lord. They worship him. Then as Moses commanded, Joshua took large stones and he plastered them and then he wrote on them the words of the law. Really, this was a sign that he was saying, this is our covenant that we are choosing to follow and obey as your people, God. After that, he had the people stand in front of the two mountains. Half of the people, half of the tribes of Israel stood in front of Mount Ebal, and half the people stood in front of Mount Gerizim. And they did this moment, they had this time where they repeated what was written down as curses and blessings. The people in front of Mount Gerizim repeated the blessings that they would receive as a people if they obeyed and followed what they covenanted to do, to obey God's word. The other half of the Israelites in front of Mount Ebal pronounced the curses that they would receive if they chose to disobey the Lord. And so this was a moment where it's a continuing pronouncement of their covenant, their promises, and what will happen, acknowledging all those things. And lastly, it says God read all the words of the law to the people, to the men, women, children, and all the foreigners who were there that had become part of them. This, in essence, kind of completes this part of the story where we see this comeback moment of the Israelites, them overcoming their fear and discouragement, and then offering themselves and renewing their covenant to the Lord. What can we learn? What can we learn from this story, from the lessons at Ai? Well, I think it's not hard to put ourselves into the shoes of the Israelites and the experience of defeat that they had. Because there are times where we all experience defeat and setbacks and the sadness and the fear and the loss of confidence that come with it. In fact, right now, you might be experiencing some sting of guilt or some debilitating fear of failure. We all struggle with it in different ways. But God, as he spoke to Joshua, speaks to us, and he says, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. He says to throw off for failure and rise up and fight. I promise you victory. The victory that God promises us is a victory that is eternal. It's not just for one battle, and it's not conditional upon our successes or our failures or our performance. The victory that we have is eternal and complete because it's a victory that was won through Jesus on the cross. In Romans 3:23, it says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us were failures. None of us had clean hands. As we think about the story, and we, you know, it's not hard to, when we hear these stories of the Israelites in battle, and when they destroy the people of the land, it says the people of Jericho were devoted to destruction, people of Ai were devoted to destruction, and the people of Canaan, that whole area, were devoted to destruction because of their sin before the Lord. Ultimately, we understand we are all sinners, just as Achan was devoted to destruction because he took of the devoted things and that he was devoted to destruction. None of us are without sin. The people of Israel cannot hold to their covenant. We know that was the ultimate truth, is that none of us have clean hands and a pure heart, the way that God wanted us and desires of us and requires of us. And so this is what God says in Ephesians 2:3. It says, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. God dealt with our failure, our inability to succeed in pleasing him in a once-for-all way through the sacrifice of his own son, who paid for the wrath of God in his own death. And God made a new covenant with us. In Hebrews 10:14, he says, by the one sacrifice of Jesus, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. At that time, it was so important, as we know, when the Israelites renewed their relationship with God, God had laid out, make sure you write. It was so important to lay out and write in very public spaces. This is the law that you're going to follow, right? And there is practically value of continuing to see and read the law. But God says, ultimately, I know you cannot follow the law, and I'm going to write it on your heart. And he talks about in other parts, it's not going to be a circumcision of the flesh where you are going to prove to me that you're going to follow me with your circumcision of the flesh. I will circumcise your hearts. And that's a surgery that only God can do. And he says, I will do it myself. So if we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, that is what we receive from him. A victory that is final, a success that is total. We are not failures. We are victors in Christ Jesus. God has already won. That's our identity. So how do we deal then with our just the setbacks and the everyday failures? Because again, we know that in our own minds, we still face the discouragement and the fear and the doubts that come with knowing we should have done better or we failed in some way. This is how we deal with our everyday failures. Number one, admit our sin. Admit our sin and receive God's forgiveness. In 1 John 1:19, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just, and he will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It takes owning up to our sin. sometimes our sins are not something that is obvious, as in like we stole something the way Achan did it. Sometimes it's a lack of faith that someone else may not really be able to point out. And our motives are very hidden inside, but God knows them. And if we ask, we say, God, why is it that I'm struggling about this? He can reveal to us, there is a lack of faith in this matter. Confess that to me, right? We need to admit our sins before the Lord. And it says that God is faithful and just. He will forgive us because Jesus Christ has already paid for our sins on the cross. And he applies the blood of Jesus over us. So when we admit our sins, we are now freed and we are forgiven. And we are able to throw off our sins and know that we have received God's forgiveness. We need to extinguish lies with the truth. So there are voices of regret that hang around us and buzz around our heads sometimes, like a fly, an annoying fly, or a broken tape recorder. I think I wanted to have us imagine, what are the voices that just incessantly sometimes stay around you? You are a failure. How could you do that? God must be so disappointed in you. God is God still angry at me? Why are these things going wrong continually in my life? I know that I can't continue to do good. For some reason, I try, but I keep feeling there's nothing else I can do. I mean, how can I trust that I will still do right with God when I can't even have self-control over my own actions, God? These are kind of the voices that keep going over our heads. And what we need to do with those voices is to remember the truth of God that takes down those voices. We need to address those voices. And we say, remember, as far as the east is from the west, so far God removes our transgressions from us. We take it down, right? We remember God's promise in Romans 8:37, which says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So to that voice that says, you will fail again, you say, no, I'm going to take you down. I am victorious in Jesus Christ. To the voice that says, what if I fail again? I don't have the power to do right. 2 Timothy 1 says, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And we take it down. All those voices that keep running over in our head, don't let them run you over. Take them down one by one. And as we keep practicing doing that, we experience greater and greater freedom over our failures. Number three, fight together. As God told Joshua, it was critical that they took this battle of Ai together, take the whole army with you. You know, God could have still taken that battle down with only a portion if he wanted to, but he wanted them to fight together. And he says, go up and attack Ai together. Don't fight this battle, only a portion of you. Share your burdens with people around you. Fight your battles with people. As we think about the battle that we're facing with this building and understanding that, Lord, you've prepared and presented this opportunity to us, we want to see what you have for us. This is a battle that's not meant to be fought by only a few, but every one of us in church. Let's fight this battle together. That's why it's a call to pray together. It's a call to fast together. We invite you to join us tonight as we come together at 7:30 p.m. over Zoom. We want you to join us in prayer. We want to see God move as we join in unity and say we're fighting this as one. And lastly, walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus because we are in a new covenant with God. And in this new covenant, it's a call to walk faithfully with Jesus. Pastor Soon talked about how we're a covenant people. And God began that relationship with Abraham when he called Abraham into a covenant with him. God said in Genesis 17:1, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless." Really a call for two things. Keep walking with me. Don't ever stop walking with me, right? It's a call that he says, stay with me. Day in, day out, walk with me. And he says, be blameless, really meaning a wholeheartedly giving yourself to the Lord. Don't hold anything back. Keep offering all yourself to him. Because if we keep doing that, we're not going to fail God. We're not going to stumble. What happens is when we do face any kind of setbacks, any kind of personal failures, if we're committed to walking with the Lord every day, God continues to rise us up, give us courage, speaks to us. And so we're not defined by our failures anymore. We're only defined by our victories because God has forgiven all the past and he only sees our faithfulness to him as we are running towards him on this race. So today, let's remember the lessons from the Battle of Ai, and let's remember that we have our ultimate victory through Jesus Christ so we can rise up again.